When a woman becomes pregnant, she often refers to carrying her baby with one word, expecting. I'm expecting, she would say. I'm having a baby. I'm preparing for the birth of this baby and becoming a mom. But sometimes a woman is unexpecting about the baby she's carrying, right? That's what this next series of sermons for Advent is all about. We've entitled it Unexpecting. How four miraculous births in the biblical story, Isaac, Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist, all point to the greatest miraculous birth of Jesus. The young Virgin Mary was unexpecting of God's plan for her miraculous baby. I want to tell you that my prayer for you for this Advent season is that the Spirit of God would renew your confidence that if God makes a promise, God keeps His promise. The word Advent means coming. God has made a promise of His coming. The first Advent of Christ was His coming in the humble birth, but the people had hoped for many generations for the coming of the Messiah. The second Advent of Christ is of Jesus' glorious coming to earth, and how long have we been waiting? Advent is based on our belief that God has made a promise. I am coming. But God has the fullness of time in His plan. And until then, we are waiting for this Advent of His second coming. You know what happens when we are waiting for God's promise and we don't think that it's happened? Whether it's the announcement of the Messiah or the return of Christ, or if it's a promise to us that we believe was given by God. For example, because this series is wrapped in the miraculous birth of babies, this touches a very personal agony for those of you who have longed and cried out to God for the miracle pregnancy of a birth of a baby. But it hasn't happened. I stand with you in prayer for that miracle in your life. So when we wait for the promise and it doesn't happen, we might say, well, God doesn't keep His promise. And we walk away from hoping and trusting Him. We become discouraged, disillusioned, and disheartened. Is that you today? I can tell you honestly that it certainly is me. 3 years ago, I had an unusual encounter with God. I believe God gave me a promise that night. There was great detail. I wrote it into my journal. I didn't speak about it to anyone. I felt it was kind of a holy moment to cherish in my heart. I went back to pray through the promise often and to renew my confidence to wait for God with expectation. But something changed. In April of 2020, I was again up in the night praying and wrestling with the early realities of COVID-19. But somehow I was no longer confident that God had made this promise of 3 years earlier. And I began to wonder if God keeps His promise. So I just decided to let it go for the time being. It was palpable in my soul. In one way, I felt relieved. But in another way, I felt empty. So Matt and I planned this series. I think this idea of looking at the miracle births was one of my suggestions in the planning process. And when we decided to go with unexpecting God's promise and plan in the miracle births in the Bible, I knew it would be a challenge for me to preach that would require prayer and fasting and confession, because I had given up my expectation that if God makes a promise, God will keep His promise. So I come to this Advent season as much in need of a renewal in my heart as you may come to it. From the grand cosmic promises to the exclusively personal promises, my question to you is this: could we all ask God to renew our confidence that if God makes a promise, God keeps His promise? During the 4th and 5th centuries in Europe, Advent was a season not so much about Christmas as it was about the preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January feast of Epiphany. Epiphany was the celebration of the birth story that Matthew told of the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus. This season of Epiphany would, of course, include Christmas Day. During this season of preparation for Epiphany, Christians would spend 40 days in confession and prayer and fasting to prepare for this celebration of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so consider it. It would look somewhat different from our usual Advent and Christmas traditions. But perhaps during this already unsettled year of COVID-19, we could have an Advent Christmas Epiphany season with a longing to deal with our discouraged and disillusioned, disheartened souls, because it may seem to us that God has not kept His promise. Perhaps there could be the renewal of expectation for God's coming in our lives. So if we start today with confession, prayer, and fasting, it will be 40 days of preparation to Epiphany on January the 6th, 2021. Think about it. Would you ask God to renew your confidence that if God makes a promise, God keeps His promise? You could start today and make this your daily Advent prayer. Perhaps put it up somewhere that you'll see it every morning. God of hope, I look to You with an open heart and yearning spirit to renew my confidence in Your promises. Today I will keep alert and alive to Your presence, expecting to receive Your grace and to live by Your truth. My trust is in Your Son, Jesus. Amen. So this is the story of the miraculous birth of Isaac. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." When God called Abraham to leave his home in Haran, he was 75 years old, and God called him out with a promise. In Genesis 12, the scripture says that the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." At this time, Abraham and Sarah had no children. But Abraham placed his trust in God's promise and moved to Canaan, the land of this promise. In Genesis 17, God speaks again to Abraham, now 99 years old and Sarah at 89. "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Well, for 25 years they've been waiting for this, so these become real questions for every faithful believer in God. If God makes a promise, will He keep His promise? But the story says that God was faithful. Listen, this is important. Hope delayed is not hope denied. So now we come to this birth story. This birth of Isaac is a major pivot in the theme that dominates the book of Genesis, which is the promise of the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent. This is what God said in judgment to the serpent in Genesis 3, "And I will put enmity enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. From that point on, Adam and Eve are looking for the one child who would crush the enemy that had seduced them to sin and death in the garden. Just one child. Immediately, the Genesis story says Adam made love to his wife and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and his name was Cain. What were they looking for? The fulfillment of the promise, the child. But that hope was delayed because Cain murders the other son born to them, Abel. And Cain is then exiled from the land and separated from the presence of God. And then Eve gives birth to Seth. And now Genesis begins to trace a family line from Seth. It goes to Noah and then zooms in eventually on Abraham. And there, in anticipation in Genesis of the promise made to Adam and Eve, a promised child that would crush the head of the enemy that has brought death to all humanity because of sin, was anticipated. Can you hear it? All along, they're waiting for the redemption plan of God for the sin of the world. And now the promise is given to Abraham that he would become a mighty nation through whom God would bless the world. We now know that the miraculous birth of Isaac is pointing to a future child in Abraham's family whose name is Jesus. And Jesus is the child who will crush the head of the enemy when he dies on the cross for the sins of the world. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, says this: when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Abraham had no understanding of these things. He only knew that God had promised to him a son that would be born to him in his old age. And from this son, he would be the father of a great nation who would bless the whole earth. So verse 1 of chapter 21 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him." Do you hear the emphasis in these words? If God makes a promise, God keeps his promise. God's promises are fulfilled in the specific way that he promised. God's promises are fulfilled in the perfect timing of his promise. So how long may God make you wait for a promise? How long did Abraham wait? 25 years. How long did the world have to wait for the fulfillment of the promise of Genesis 3, the child who would crush the head of the enemy? Thousands of years. Oh God, in this Advent season, renew our confidence that if you make a promise, you will keep your promise. Well, the story continues. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. This is the son that Sarah bore to him. Sarah gave her servant woman Hagar to Abraham so that they may have a baby, but this was their plan to help God. And a son was born to Abraham. His name was Ishmael. But listen, God did not need Sarah and Abraham's help. He doesn't need your and my help to fulfill his promise. In fact, our help will only make this more difficult for us. It won't change God's plan. It will only make what we have to do in his plan more complicated. Abraham, even at that, still offered his plan to God. He said, God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. But God said, no. But my covenant will be established with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. You see, God's promise was that Sarah would bear Abraham a son, not Hagar. And the covenant of his promise would be with Isaac, not Ishmael. Abraham had to believe in God just as we have to believe in God. Abraham had to believe that God would do the impossible. We have to believe that God did the impossible when he sent his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross. And we have to believe that God raised him from the dead. God is the God of miracles, and he has fulfilled his promise. Listen to what Hebrews says in chapter 11 as it tells this story. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then the Hebrew writer goes on to talk about Abel and Enoch and Noah, and then he comes to Abraham. And he says, by faith Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Do you hear that the final telling of the story of Abraham and Sarah, that they are commended for their faith in God's promise? All of their failures in faith aren't mentioned here. So as you and I bump along in trusting God's promise, we must decide again that the same faith Abraham and Sarah expressed is the same faith we must live by today. So the story continues. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. This tells us that Abraham, as a man of faith, also had to obey God. So Abraham does two things. He names the baby Isaac as he was instructed, and he circumcised Isaac as he was instructed. Abraham, as a man of faith, had to obey God. God's promises will require faith. Faith to receive them and faith to obey them. Listen, this is important. If we are to renew our confidence that God makes a promise and God keeps his promise, we need to come to a place that we can confess that we have become impatient in our waiting. I know it's been a long time, years perhaps, but we need to confess that we've made decisions to help God out. And sometimes we have consequences, like Abraham and Sarah had Hagar and Ishmael. It won't derail God in keeping his promise and purposes, but it just makes what we have to do way more complicated. But when we've confessed that, let's get back to renewing our confidence that God's promises require faith from us, faith to receive them and faith to obey them. Well, the story continues. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Are you able to laugh with Sarah and Abraham? There are several times in the story when Abraham and Sarah laugh about it all. Chapter 17, Abraham fell face down and he laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then in the next chapter, when three visitors came to see Sarah and Abraham, one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" You see, well, Sarah and Abraham's early laughter was in disbelief. Now, Sarah laughed with the delight of the birth of her baby boy. Think about Abraham being 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old when she has a baby. This causes her to be hilarious with laughter and joy. And they send out the birth announcement with God's name, Isaac. His name means laughter. And what's more, everyone who hears the story of Isaac's miraculous birth will laugh because of the unexpected purposes of God. Isaac makes us laugh. Will we laugh with Sarah and Abraham? I think the good news should make us laugh. The story of God's grace comes to us with all kinds of surprising twists. The gospel of Christ is about the penalty of sin being paid in the death of Christ, but it's also about the shocking and unexpected resurrection of Jesus. Listen, this is important. The good news that God has kept his promise should make us laugh. During the Advent season of 2019, God made a promise to Doug and Jana Peterson. Doug told me this story in February of this past year. I'm going to tell it to you in his own words. After having our daughter, Haley, we'd been trying to get pregnant for about 1.5 years, but to no avail. We then discovered we were pregnant, but unfortunately lost that little one early on. After another year and a half, having seen many doctors and specialists, we finally ended up at a fertility specialist who gave us little to no hope of being able to get pregnant naturally due to Jana's endometriosis. The doctor gave us a couple of options, very expensive options, that weren't a guarantee either. We drove home feeling very discouraged and talked about what we should do. Should we try the options that she gave us? Should we adopt? Should we just accept that we wouldn't have another child and be content with the beautiful daughter God had already given to us? All we knew for sure is that we had to make a decision, and we had to make it fast. Jana's endometriosis was only going to get worse, and the treatment for that meant no children. We went to church a few days later with this heavy on our hearts and heard the sermon that Steve gave on waiting on the Lord. Never in my life have I felt so strongly that God was telling me something so directly. As I listened to it, it was like he was saying over and over, "Wait, wait, wait." "But I don't have time to wait," I was saying in my mind. Near the end of the sermon, Steve gave the illustration of the king who, with no heir to his throne, and then the athletic competition that he held to replace himself. The king's challenge to the young man who eventually won was this: "I knew you could run, but I did not know if you could wait." As the final song was sung, Jana happened to be singing that day, and so my own wife is now singing a song to me about waiting on the Lord. As she's saying, I said to God, "I don't have time to wait. We need to decide now. Jana's endometriosis is only going to get worse, and it needs to be treated." And as if someone punched me in the face, God said to me, "That's the signal for the race, but I'm telling you to wait for my signal." Well, we went home that day, and I told Jana what had happened, and she didn't love the idea of waiting, but she understood that if that's what God was telling me, then we needed to wait. It was hard because doing nothing felt like pretty much the hardest thing at that time. We didn't know how long we would need to wait, and we had already been waiting for so long, but we knew we had to be obedient to what God was telling us. About a month later, in a very busy month where we didn't put forth the best effort in trying, God gave us our pregnancy with a little miracle baby. We were so overjoyed when we found out. What was so amazing, too, was after finding out about our pregnancy, God gave us such a real and tangible peace that this child would be okay and that we wouldn't go through another loss, that he would allow everything to go perfectly because he had orchestrated all of this. Gideon was born on September 16th, 2020. God did this. We did not. Well, I'm sure we can laugh in joy with Doug and Jana's birth announcement of Gideon. Yes, I know you can laugh through your tears, even if the miraculous birth of a child is not yet your story. Or if my journal entry of God's promise of years ago is not yet fulfilled. Because it renews our confidence that in the grand cosmic story, if God makes a promise, God will keep his promise. The story of Isaac is the first story of an unexpected birth that shouted out God's good news to Abraham and Sarah. And the unexpected grace of God to them has continued to be the good news that echoed through every generation for 1900 years and was ultimately shouted out to the sleepy Galilean shepherds by the angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Okay, you're considering it. It would look somewhat different from our usual Advent and Christmas traditions. But perhaps during this already unsettled year of COVID-19, we could have an unexpected Advent with a longing to deal with our discouraged and disillusioned and disheartened souls because it has seemed to us that God has not kept his promise. Perhaps there could be the renewal of expectation for God coming into our lives. So if we start today with confession, prayer, and fasting, it will be 40 days of preparation to Epiphany on January 6, 2021. Think about it. Would you ask God to renew your confidence that if God makes a promise, God keeps his promise? Today, will you make this your daily Advent prayer? God of hope, I look to you with an open heart and a yearning spirit to renew my confidence in your promises. Today, I will keep alert and alive to your presence, expecting to receive your grace and to live by your truth. My trust is in your Son, Jesus. Amen.